Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Saturday's game is going to be fun for a variety of different reasons. You get to play your former offensive coordinator in Gus Malzahn, your former head coach in Chad Morris, and Arkansas is coming off with a win for the first time in the SEC since 2017. How offensively are they going to get things going? To this point, Kendall Briles' offense has not been productive to this point. Now, I want to ask the question starting out here on the Morning Rush, who faces more pressure on Saturday? Is it Kendall Briles or is it Chad Morris? And where is that pressure coming from? All that's coming up here on the Morning Rush. 877-377-6963 is our number that you can call or text in. We are streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You got a smart speaker, all you got to say is play ESPN Arkansas. We are also on the TuneIn app as well. Former Razorback, former Green Bay Packer, Brett Good is going to join us at 7:20 this morning. And then we're going to have one of the biggest Hog fans out there and country music star, Justin Moore, joining us at 8 o'clock. Really excited about that. If you don't get a chance to listen to this full show and you want to listen to more, we have all our podcasts on the Hit That Line Podcast Network. We are going to be releasing Primetime Preps later today, the only high school sports podcast in the state. Whether it's the Halftime Pod, whether it's Ruskin and Zach, Fantasy Football Sunday, Hog Reaction, all that is on our Hit That Line Podcast Network, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to podcasts, we have it. All right, so I'll ask you this first, and again, we're taking calls, 877-377-6963. Who has more pressure on Saturday?
I gotta believe it's Auburn as a team, so I'm gonna go with Chad Morris as a coordinator because there's always pressure on the home team and the favorite when they're a home team. So I'm gonna go with Chad Morris from that standpoint. I know you're playing into and there is something there with the Chad Morris versus Arkansas deal. I don't think it's quite as prevalent as maybe we'd like it to be, but I think when you're a highly ranked team like Auburn. And Arkansas is in the position we're still in, and I know we're feeling good about the fact that, hey, you snapped the losing streak, you won a game on the road against a ranked opponent, but Arkansas still has, the record is still what it is. I mean, you won one game. The pressure's on Auburn because you can't lose to Arkansas. Arkansas is still looked at as Arkansas. So, yeah, I mean, it's on Chad Morris to make sure his team doesn't lose two in a row. Yes, last week was to Georgia, a team that's ranked higher than you with one of the premier defenses in the country. But take all the Chad and Arkansas stuff out of it. Pressure's on Auburn because you're at home, you're the more thought of team, and you can't lose to Arkansas if you're looking at it from an Auburn perspective. Forget all the Chad and Arkansas stuff and just look at it from that standpoint.
I would say if you look at just the Auburn team as a whole, like you're discussing, they're at home. They're supposed to be the better team in the SEC West. There's always that inferiority complex with Alabama playing inside the state and then just the pressure that's facing Chad and Gus wanting to beat their former team in Arkansas. What I would say, the pressure, and there is pressure on both coordinators, there's no question about it, but I would say in order to win the football game, I need to be very clear about this. There's more pressure on Kendall Briles. Yeah. Kendall Briles has less mistakes that he can make as an OC in order for Arkansas to have a chance. But from an optics standpoint, as you pointed out, there is definitely a lot more pressure facing Chad Morris and his staff.
There's two different questions there. Who has more pressure on them to help their team win? And then who has more pressure on them if their team loses? You know, Chad's going to have more pressure because, as you said, Auburn. Can you imagine the blowback on Jocks FM, WJOX in Birmingham, that Auburn's going to face, the calls, the things that will be said on Feinbaum throughout next week if Auburn loses to Arkansas? I mean, Arkansas and on that side of the conference and in most of the conference, not highly thought of. And the record doesn't earn much respect. So if that happens, Auburn, Gus, Chad, the whole program is going to face some embarrassment from that. And I hope we can deliver that for them.
I am 100%
with you. But your point is, in order to help your team win, Kendall's got more pressure on him to do that, because Arkansas's offense has not delivered through two games. Arkansas's offense has been the weakest unit, really, of the three when you look at special teams last week versus the offense and defense. Offense has still struggled through 2 weeks. I mean, we've laid out the drive chart and the efficiencies there, but just where Arkansas's at trying to get to the end zone, they got two touchdowns last week offensively. I'm of the belief, even in this weather predicament we're in, two's probably still not enough. Three probably at a minimum, and probably more like four this week to give your team a chance to win.
It's going
to
be interesting how this weather affects the Arkansas-Auburn game, which team it helps, which team it hurts. I'm under the belief the worst team, which is Arkansas in this case, is helped by inclement weather, and the rain and stuff should help Arkansas. I got a Facebook message from Johnny Lambert saying, and I double-checked this, Harold Joyner, an Auburn running back, has just decided to enter the transfer portal. Now, he does not have any statistics this season, but you already have a guy who seems to be jumping the Gus Bus and the Chad Morris train so far this season. And the Auburn offense just does not look good. I know they faced Georgia and they faced Kentucky, one really good defense and one pretty solid defense. And I'm curious, because it's not like Arkansas is just this major, massive step back. This is not the 2019 Arkansas defense that you're facing. This has been a defense that so far through two games has shown you that they have something to prove. So it's going to be fascinating to watch if once again Barry Odom can dial something up to drive the offensive coordinator mad. And in this case, you would love to see a frustrated Chad Morris on the other sideline.
You know, the interceptions have been key, to provide the turnovers to give the offense more chance and to stop drives. How many shots are you going to have at this week? I don't know how much they're going to put the ball in the air. Some, I mean, it's not going to be exclusively ground, but you know, Ty, I would think the majority of the offensive attack, based on weather and just based on what Auburn wants to do, they're gonna try and run it at Arkansas, even on a dry field, even in dry conditions, if the weather shifts or moves through early or comes in later or whatever. I think that's exactly what Gus is going to do under most circumstances, is see if they can run it first. You want Bo Nix to throw it if you're Barry Odom. That's the best thing they can have.
You got to force. I would probably try and stack the box and make Bo Nix beat you. And there's a couple guys. I know Eli Stove didn't finish the game against Georgia. I think Seth Williams, who's their best wide receiver, is still questionable for this football game. I need to double check on that. Gus Malzahn was asked about injuries, and he basically just put a blanket statement out there and said, hope all our guys are back for Saturday. And so he really didn't get an update. I thought Sam Pittman kind of labeled out each guy. That didn't necessarily mean it's going to happen that way for Arkansas, but Gus just kind of threw a blanket statement over every single player. So I hope all guys are back on Saturday.
You know, for someone that doesn't put a depth chart in their game notes, did you think he was going to open up about injuries?
Probably not.
Probably not.
So, and Jeff asked a question on Facebook, which is something we're going to get into next segment. What are the chances this game gets moved to Fayetteville, like possibility of LSU going to Columbia? That's definitely a possibility and something we will be keeping an eye on moving forward as this game progresses. The SEC put out a statement as of yesterday that they are monitoring Hurricane Delta. It's going to impact a couple games this weekend, and we'll continue to update you on that here at ESPN Arkansas, ESPN 99.5, and hitthatline.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Greg asked the question on our text line, 877-377-6963. Is it up to the NCAA to move the football game?
Nope.
Yeah, is it an SEC thing?
It'd be an SEC and institutional thing, right? So if the SEC doesn't feel it's safe to host the game, and certainly if Auburn and Arkansas's administrations don't feel it's safe to play, and there's other people like the SEC Network /ESPN, they don't feel it's safe to have their crews, you have to have those conversations. So it's about safety. You know, Auburn essentially, as Clay was saying yesterday, they're having only students for the most part at their games. Very few fans are allowed in, mainly a lot of parents of players. They used the majority of their capacity for students this year. So they don't financially have a lot at stake. They may be fine financially just go ahead and move in the game to Fayetteville. What I don't want to see is the trade-off, yeah, we'll come to Fayetteville this year, wink, wink, because it's not going to cost us any money, really, other than traveling. You come here the next two times. That's not fair. Now, if you want to come here, we'll play it with no fans in Fayetteville. Fine. It's too late to get tickets out. We'll just play in Fayetteville with no fans. Play wherever you want with no fans. It's safe. It's fine. But you're going to probably have to play it somewhere like Fayetteville because you need the infrastructure to do it. Doesn't make sense to travel two teams to play a game.
It could also potentially affect, and referring to Hurricane Delta, Missouri at LSU, yep, and then Alabama at Ole Miss. Right. So those are really the three games in the Hurricane Delta wheelhouse that they'll be monitoring.
Originally, this thing had a track of more like central to eastern Alabama, and it's shifted more with as times went on, coming across the Yucatan Peninsula, and is going to go more towards New Orleans was the last track I saw. So,
this is a statement from Hunter Yurecek via the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. He says, at this time, we have no alterations to the plan to play this game as scheduled. Now, Sam Pittman was also asked this yesterday, or Monday, I think, during his press conference, and he said the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, again, we're going to keep you updated on hitthatline.com as well as ESPN Arkansas, Halftime, Ruskin and Zach, wherever you listen to us. We will continue to monitor this situation because this is a big deal, and obviously the game location is subject to change if they think it's unsafe for the student-athletes right to play on Saturday.
So, I mean, obviously it's just about the shift of the hurricane at this point. So here's the thing. What's the deadline? You're trying to predict weather. What's the timeline on this? Because there is obviously logistics. You can't wait too late because, we need to move the game to Fayetteville. At some point, the team has to get on an airplane and leave Auburn, Alabama safely. You know, you have to safely be able to fly a plane and get in and out. Now, you can probably do that still by Friday with no problem, but you got to get hotels lined up and all that. Now, hotels generally aren't overbooked at this point, so that's probably all doable, but I'm just saying all that has to be done. So I'm thinking by today, if you're going to actually move a game, it has to be done. What you got there, Jenkins? You looking at the weather?
No, this comes from the National Weather Service in Little Rock. They say rainfall is expected later this week due to Hurricane Delta here in Arkansas, particularly. Little Rock is in about the half inch to an inch, and as you go further southeast, Arkansas, it's 4 to 6 inches.
All right.
When we looked
yesterday, it was tracking more towards Arkansas than it is particularly Auburn.
Okay, so
who knows?
Maybe fine to play that out there.
Jay replies on Facebook. He said, would there be an opportunity to play Arkansas and Auburn in Fayetteville this year and maybe play a neutral site game? I just don't see a scenario where that happens.
They're not going to play neutral site this year. It makes no sense to travel two teams.
Auburn doesn't want... Well, I think he was talking about for next year because he didn't want to have to play in Auburn consecutive years. That's what he was recommending.
To me, from what Jenkins just said, and Jenkins, what you're saying is the weather may be better at Auburn, Alabama than it will be in Arkansas.
I'll see if I can pull up the Weather Channel here.
It sounds to me like Fayetteville and Auburn may be about the same because you're saying the weather is going to be bad in central to southeast Arkansas, northwest Arkansas.
According to the National Weather Service in that map, it looks clear. Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah,
like you said, you're trying to predict weather.
Y'all think Madison's going to go to the game?
I'm surprised we made it this long into Auburn week and hadn't brought up Madison.
You know, that is the best point in this segment is how did we get this far?
That's a great question. I was reminded.
I'm sure Orange is working on some kind of Friday night dinner for the two of you.
You could probably count on that. So I was thinking about that this week. Maybe she'll come on the show Friday. We'll see. But no, it's going to be very.
Don't let Orange set that
What if she
up.
Shows up in Fayetteville? What if this game is moved to Fayetteville? You get the media pass or whatever it is. And she walks in and, like, y'all sit next to each other in the media room.
That would just be my life would peak at that point.
You can't even talk about it. get the words out.
I think my life would be peaked at that point.
You can wear the natural light shirt.
Yeah.
Shout out to Matt Holland over at Bell Point for giving me this. This is one of my new favorite pieces of material. Mm-hmm. You a fan of this shirt?
It's fine. Since a sponsor gave it to you, it's fine.
This is the best beer.
I'm sure it would really impress Madison.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be all over that. But
yeah,
no,
I'm sure she would.
I listen. I love this shirt, so I'm a big fan. Thank you, Mr. Matt Hall, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. This game this weekend. I mean, we were talking about earlier in the program, just the pressure on Kendall, the pressure on Chad, and there's also pressure as an Arkansas fan. You want to play this game. Because all the pressure's on Auburn, you're coming off a big-time win. You want to play this game, regardless if it's in Auburn, regardless if it's in Fayetteville. You want to be able to get a crack at old Chad Morris and old Gus Malzahn.
You know, I just think about one other thing on the weather. At some point, a decision has to be made pretty quickly because, you know, when you're the road team.
It's Wednesday.
But I was just thinking about something. One thing you do as the road team, and I know Arkansas, they drive all the equipment and all that stuff in that 18-wheel truck, right? You travel that down there. The last thing you want to be doing is driving a big 18-wheel truck in a windstorm down there, so or back. So, you know, there's just logistics that have to be done. So I'm thinking the day or by morning, you got a decision on what you're doing.
Yeah. No, it's
there's just a timeline that has to be dealt with.
Alan Green is the athletics director at Auburn, and I'm guessing that him and Hunter Yurchek have talked periodically throughout this week. In fact, Hunter Yurchek has said that. So
the latest track looks like you're going to play in Auburn. I just don't see this game getting moved. I think you're going to play at 3:00 in Auburn, Alabama. Maybe they move it to later in the day just to let some of the weather move on through. I could see it getting moved to evening time, but you're going to play this game in Auburn, in my opinion.
Yeah, that red, if you go wherever you get your weather forecast, that red, you know where it's right smack in the middle of? Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah. So I don't see if that game could be moved.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ballgame.
CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best. Like I said, Joe Fouché with a fantastic quote. Let's hear it. Here is what the Arkansas player had to say about playing in the rain.
You have an eagle, you have a hawk. An eagle, when it's raining, cold, go inside, right? You know, a hog, we love that mud. We love that water. So that's what we're going to be out there Saturday. We're going to be some wild hogs getting dirty, muddy, rainy. We're going to be in that weather. So we're not concerned about that. You know, we just ready to go play, you know, to keep showing the world what we have here at Arkansas. That's what we're going to do.
If that isn't the quote of the year to this point from an Arkansas football player, I don't know what is.
I don't know if it's quote of the year, but it's on point. And, hopefully, I don't know where he got that message. If that's on his own, if that's an original, if that's something from the coaches. But it is very timely, and I'm with you. I think that ought to get fans excited that, hey, this team is focused on point. They're not worried about weather. They're just worried about going down there and taking care of Auburn.
And you love hearing that, because all that is for you listening right now is red meat. You want guys that want to go down and not only get a consecutive SEC win, but you're sick and tired of losing to Auburn. Now, the pecking
getting
order...
rolled by Auburn.
Yeah, getting just crushed by Auburn. The pecking order of SEC teams you hate starts with LSU, and then it's probably followed by Ole Miss and Texas A&M. But Auburn, because of the personal connection that you have with Gus Malzahn and Chad Morris, it is definitely a game that you want to be able to not only compete, but beat, because the last time you beat Auburn was against the Tigers in 2015, and that it was either 3 or 4 overtime game where, I think you're correct on that. You had, and I'm blanking on his name. I'm looking at his face right now, and I can't. Josh Liddell at the end of that game in 4th overtime knocked out an Auburn pass and ended that football game. So it's going to be very important for the fabric of this team to just compete. And I think they're going to do more than compete. I think they're going to be able to play and give Auburn all it can handle. And all that's going to do is put pressure on Chad Morris and Gus Malzahn from that Auburn fan base. And you know that they're going to be sweating bullets on that sideline, especially if that game gets into the 4th quarter and Arkansas is within arm's length.
54-46, 4 overtimes, 2015.
Man. So
since then, 56-3 Auburn, 52-20 Auburn, 34-3 is as
closest it's been. Then last year, 51-10. Auburn has won the last four.
Let's take a couple calls real quick before we go to break. First, we'll welcome in Rod on I-40 to the conversation. Rod, you were on the Morning Rush.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I don't really look for Auburn to score as much as they've been. I thought their offense wasn't quite as sharp as it's been then, but then I remembered, oh, yeah, they got Chad Moore, so at least 30%. They got at least 30% in right now, you know what I mean? So the game plan. So
they scored 29 against Kentucky and 6 against Georgia. Now, you know, Arkansas struggled against Georgia, but a lot of teams are going to struggle against Georgia. So
I know one of those defensive touchdowns got called back, but I can't remember if the Kentucky, those were all offensive points in that game. So they might have even had a defensive touchdown in that one, to be honest.
Now, Ty, are you going to you should make the trip to Auburn. I mean, you know, it's Madison, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You've got to get down there, man.
You know what, man? I think she's out, and for some reason, I think she's out in Los Angeles or something right now. I'd love to go out there, go to Toomer's Quarter, and just check out Auburn, because that's one of the SEC college towns that is high up on my list. But with everything going on, I got work to do on Saturday as well.
You should court her and marry her and kind of seal the breach between, you know, Gus and and Fanville a little bit, maybe. Hopefully.
That would be the bond that ties, that gets through everything as far as that. Appreciate the call this morning, Ron, as always, buddy.
Two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, and an interception return for a touchdown against Kentucky.
I was going to say, I think I remember one being a defensive
touchdown.
Roger
McCreary with an interception and return. Like I said, two passing touchdowns, and DJ Williams ran one in.
So, over the course of two games, Tommy, they've had three offensive touchdowns. And they were all against Kentucky, not a single one. Something to keep it on. All right, back to the phone lines, welcoming in Carl in the land of the Golden Arrows out there in Lavaca. Carl, you are on the Morning Rush.
Hey, guys. I know I'll make this quick, but, yeah, just to touch on the Auburn O-line and a lot of what they lost last year. I mean, this past draft marked the second straight year that they've had six players drafted, which is a pretty decent number and pretty impressive. I mean, they lost both tackles and two interior offensive linemen as well. So they have an entire new – I think they have one returner from last year. And you flip side to the other side of the ball, they lost Marlon Davidson and Derek Brown. So, I mean, Auburn reloads of talent. I'm not saying they're totally depleted on offense and defense, but this is definitely a much weaker team than last year. And in terms of the pressure on Briles and Chad Morris, I don't even think it's a question. I mean, it's Chad, clearly, and Gus combined. Briles is his second game as an OC in the SEC. Or third game, you know, I think he'll get it rolling. We've seen some glimpses of what it can be, but we've also seen some signs that we clearly need improvement offensively, but this already looks head and shoulders better than last year. And this also just probably comes with having a set quarterback at the helm of Felipe Franks. Hopefully we can see Rakeem Saturday. I hear that he's doubtful, but I really think we're going to need Dorian Gerald and Coates back the most, because Traywan Smith the other day, I believe the X factor, that little dude ran hard. So I'm looking forward to Saturday just as much as y'all can. I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts on if they might move the game due to the hurricane coming and possibly another hurricane coming behind that one as well. So thanks for having me on.
It is 2020.
It is 2020. Yeah. Carl, appreciate the call this morning, man. I would say as far as them moving the game, we looked at the radar this morning. I know it's very difficult to be a weatherman or weather woman, but it looks like it's moving away from Auburn. Now, that doesn't mean he can't return, but I think that game, if I had to guess, Tommy, it's going to be played in Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah, I think it's going to be played in Auburn. The question is, could the game time be moved from 3 o'clock to maybe 6 or later in the day, because that could be more could be a better time weather-wise. That I could see. I don't think it'd be moved up. I think it could be moved back. But who knows? These things, you know, are fluid. So that would be, to me, more likely is the game time getting moved.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Already got a beef in here from JT and Hot Springs. What's your beef Wednesday coming up here on the Morning Rush? Gary in Arkadelphia joins in. By the way, heard from Gary on Saturday Night Fall and Hog Reaction. Gary, we need you to call in more, man. We love you. We want to hear you. He says if Auburn struggles on offense on Saturday, Gus is going to take over the play call the rest of the year, just like he did when Rhett Lashley was offensive coordinator.
I can buy some of that.
I think that there's definitely a possibility there. So,
but not a firing after three games.
Yeah.
Now, could it begin the process of him not being there in 2021? Maybe, yeah. But
who knows?
You know, one game is not three games is not going to be enough for someone that is supposedly a close friend and tight relationship probably end up being let go.
And to Josefa's question last segment that we were going to get to, would I give up Arkansas fandom to marry Madison? The correct answer is no, and that would be the answer. Now, there are cute girls outside the state of Arkansas, as crazy as that it is to some of you listening right now in their school and the girls that went to other colleges and are fans of other teams, but I have been raised right, so I would not be able to do that even if it came to that proposition. So I am a true-blooded, red-blooded Arkansan, and I will always be that way. All right, let's get into What's Your Beef Wednesday.
What is wrong with you?
Okay, I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Get your beefs in 877-377-6963. And I'll tell you, speaking of beef, I'll tell you he's got some good food, Tommy. It's the Wayne's over at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Yeah, even though that's not beef.
It's a great place to go and watch the game. Speaking of beef, they got some great stuff on the menu that fall in that category. And the big screen in the back, they've been opening early for these mid-afternoon games. So be checking their Facebook for details on that. When they got the evening games, it's always a great place to hang out. And when you're watching games, wings go perfect, whether it's the traditional buffalo wings, the black and blue wings, the 906 wings are awesome, so check that out. Their flatbreads are great as well. The tenderloin and grilled onion flatbread is great, and they're only $10 each. They got some great sandwiches. And the thing about 906, great cigars. They got a great air filtration system that moves the air. It replaces it in the lounge every few minutes. You'll find top shelf cigars. You're going to find rare liquors and rare wines that you won't find anywhere else. So check out 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Music menus or music agendas, you'll find that on Facebook as well. They got music every day. Open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 to midnight. Friday and Saturday, 4 till 1 a.m. It's all at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge, downtown Fort Smith.
All right, first beef we got comes from JT in Hot Springs. He says, I have a beef with that idiot Brandon Walker. JT, I have tried to get him on the show. He unfortunately was not able to last week because I think he was scared of you Arkansas Razorback fans. And it was so satisfying to watch Mississippi State implode. And by Mississippi State imploding, him imploding as well. It's always gratifying to see a demonstrative fan or coach or whoever who's been talking crap throughout the week and then them get beat. Yeah, have to eat it, which is exactly what they had to do this week. Brett from Spyro's beef is the Texas Longhorns, as always, as an OU fan. The Red River rivalry is this week.
Yep, this is the 1 week a year where you root for Texas.
I cannot go that far.
This is the 1 week a year.
I know. I told Brett.
Do you genuinely hate
Oklahoma? You root for Texas this week. Absolutely.
No. Yep. I'll never.
I don't think Clay Henry's going to come on the show anymore because you said that.
You root for Texas this one time a year. This is your one time a year.
See, BB Arkansas, Little Rock, we didn't grow up near here, but I've been here. It's still not as bad as Texas.
1 week a year.
Yep. It's still not as bad as Texas.
That's the one time you'll hear me say Boomer Sooner, Brett. Yeah. That's it.
I might have to wear my Oklahoma. Oh, I don't have my Oklahoma shirt anymore. I gave it away.
Hook 'em.
Why?
Gross.
Oh, telling you.
Okay.
Well, LSU and OU.
Is Clay going to be the same way Friday when y'all do your Fenceman Friday picks?
I'm telling you. Hook 'em this week.
Paul's beef is everyone agrees that Arkansas didn't have a chance heading into the week, and now they're saying they do have a chance. So it's kind of flip-flop on that. We got a lot of texts on that, Tommy. All right, so that's a small beef of mine that you're cheering for Texas this week, but what is your actual beef this
Here's
morning?
And we all know, hopefully the Pac-12 will get going sooner rather than later, but with no Pac-12 after dark, we watched the Hog game, finished up what little bit was left around the SEC, and then you watched Iowa State finish off the Sooners, and then there was no football left. It's like, a little after 10 o'clock and you're searching around and there's nothing on TV on Saturday night. That's my beef, is we're so used to having something to watch till midnight on a college football Saturday. It sucked. We were left watching UFC fighting from Abu Dhabi or wherever. Holly Holm in the
What's wrong with that?
I mean, it's not football. That's what's wrong with that.
It's better than Pac-12 football.
At least no, I'd rather watch Pac-12 football.
At least
football.
It's real outside of wrestling.
It wasn't scripted.
You can't drag in wrestling into this. That was not part of the conversation.
Listen, my beef is
Natty.
The Pac-12 needs to hurry it up, or better yet, let's put one of these games from the existing leagues, the Big 12, even an SEC game, let's kick that baby off at 8 o'clock or 8:30 or somewhere so that we have some football till 11-something-ish. I want some later football on Saturday night. That's my beef. We need some SEC after dark, Big 12 after dark. I don't care what it is. I need more football than 10:30.
Han Kansui's beef is with you because he says he wouldn't root for Texas versus the Taliban.
Yeah. I'm telling you. OU's playing ISIS. I need to know what the point spread is first.
Wow.
So.
Man. Golly. I would say my beef here is this morning is Jenkins and I were texting back and forth yesterday, and we're thinking about attempting a challenge, a 30-inch pizza at a place here in town. And there are people that think we can't do it, Jenkins. Well, How messed up is that?
Who says we can't do it?
Listeners think we can't
challenge.
Do it.
The question is, can you finish the challenge?
Do the listeners not know how big I am?
The big guys never win on these eating challenges. They're usually the first to tap out.
I think Jenkins
I've done this one time. Now, granted, this challenge is two people in an hour.
Yeah, an hour, 30-inch pizza.
The one time I did it was three people in 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one piece left of my little square.
I think you and I, now I eat like a maniac. Remember when we went to Doe's and I finished before everyone else and you had half your steak?
And you don't even enjoy it. I mean, you don't even.
He does eat like a maniac. I'll give him that.
You don't even, enjoy the entree. I mean, savor the flavor.
Do you eat in a circle or do you like you eat one, you eat the whole one thing first, then this thing first, and this? Or do you like?
I go like connect four almost back and forth,
okay.
But I guess I'm a little frustrated with some of our listeners that think that Jenkins and I can't complete this task. Do you think we can complete this task? Not you too.
I don't really care.
Well, what do you think?
You got to bet on your boys here.
I think you probably can.
Thank you.
But is it going to enrich your life?
You damn right it's going to enrich our lives. Come on.
We get a free t-shirt and we get the publicity.
Oh, the t-shirt.
And we don't have to pay for the meal.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize there was a free t-shirt involved. Pardon me.
Kevin and Alan.
And the social media clout.
Yeah, which is always important for us millennials. By the way, text in your beefs, 877-377-6963. I don't know if this is
and the enhanced cholesterol level after all that cheese.
That's what the water's for.
This sounds more like a lady texting, but apparently Kevin and Alma is angry because Starbucks is out of nitro cold brew.
What?
How is he supposed to function now? Kevin, I don't drink coffee. Tommy doesn't drink coffee. Jenkins, you still drink Coke in the morning, doing water?
I'm switched to the water diet right now. So the doctor told me my cholesterol is a little high.
We're all on the water diet right now, so I would
kill for a white chocolate mocha from Starbucks right now. I'd be fine with that.
Well, it was National Coffee the other day. Nick in Greenwood has confidence in us, Jenkins. He thinks we can do it.
Of course we can.
Yeah,
he thinks we can do it. Tommy, someone's on your side. They said, actually, they're not on your side. They said when they caught Bin Laden, he was wearing a UT turban.
Listen, I only said it was good one day a year. So
maybe it's different.
There's 364 days I'm with the rest of you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Oh, he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I have to play these clips because you reposted your wife's video from about 4 years ago. These Jimmy Fallon clips that I had never heard before. You tell me which one is funnier, man.
Next up for the Packers is Brett Good. It was voted most likely to roundhouse kick his urologist after he tries to touch him.
That was when Brett had the beard, and then this one as well.
Here's Brett Good. He was voted most likely to attend the inauguration just to see Three Doors Down play.
The
boys are back.
Yeah.
I can tell you the second one's possibly true. The first one, you couldn't roundhouse kick nobody, you know.
I can still do the split.
Can you really?
Yes, I still stretch and do yoga. I mean, you got to think whenever I first started playing, well, they could hit the snapper, and so they put me in all kinds of positions, so I wanted to make sure I was protected. So I can still do the splits to this day.
Could you roundhouse kick Ty in the face?
Oh, I think so. I think what we should do, though, if you've seen the videos where they put the apple or the beer bottle on somebody's head and try and kick that off, we should try that.
All right.
Well, then,
do it.
What's going to happen if you miss? I'm going to have a former NFL player kick me in the face, and I'm going to be... Potential. I mean, you don't want to hurt the show, do you, Tom?
Well, not the show, but maybe you. There was maybe some liquid courage involved. I was not there for this, but one of Brett's buddies one time said, "Oh, I could catch one of your snaps." And he'd had a little bit of liquid courage, so Brett snapped one to him. And how many fingers did you break? Two or one?
It depends on which person that I've snapped the ball to. So over the years, the liquid courage tends to get going, and then people want to catch a field goal snap because they think it's easy and anybody can do it.
Yeah. Golly. I think Kelton had one or two. I can't remember.
Man, well, Brett, we appreciate it as always joining this morning. I saw those yesterday, and I was like, I have to play those clips. And I will never be on Jimmy Fallon. You luckily have been twice. I thought that was pretty cool. But outside the pop culture stuff, man, big-time win for the Razorbacks on Saturday. Just kind of your emotions as a former player seeing Arkansas get their first SEC win in 3 years.
It was very emotional just to watch the guys, how happy the guys were. You could see all their hard work had finally paid off. They've been putting in with the new staff and the guys over the years, that, you know, they're tired of losing. Losing's not easy. You know, it's a lot easier to be on the team and walk through the locker room happy and go to the weight room happy when you're winning than it is losing. And so you can see that emotion coming out of everybody. And I was just so happy and proud for them because they finally found a way to win, and hopefully it's one of many.
You know, Brad, it was kind of interesting. You made the statement last time we had you on that you could see the potential for this team to win 4 or 5 ball games, and people were like saying, oh, he's just drinking the Kool-Aid, he's drinking the Kool-Aid. Well, after game 2, I don't think that statement is outlandish that people have made it out to be. How confident are you in just the possibility of this team maybe winning 4 or 5 ball games after week 2?
I think there's a very big possibility. Obviously, we've got to get our offense going and keep them consistent throughout the game, because right now our defense is our best aspect of our football team. But we've got to keep them, you know, from getting fatigued. And so we don't have to go out there and score a bunch of points, but we've got to get first downs, and we've got to move the ball to give them a chance to stay healthy and stay rested. That way they can go out there and play good defense. And, you know, this last weekend we covered kicks a lot better. So that was a lot, you know, we were able to not have such a big drastic field change like we did against Georgia. So hopefully we can kind of continue to build on these momentums. And the biggest thing that we've got to do is stack success and just keep building off of it.
So what is the biggest issue with the offense? As you look at it, is the offensive line still what's holding things back? Is it the quarterback situation? As you look at this offense that can't get on track and sustain drives, what needs to click to make it all go?
I think personally it just looks like rhythm. They're trying too much within the offense, and we're just not able to get into a rhythm. And even if we have an incompletion, which you're going to have, it seems like everybody kind of gets down. And I think winning is going to change that culture a little bit, but they kind of got to the point where they're like, oh, here we go again. This is the way this is going to be. And it takes time to take that losing mentality out of your mind. And so I think they just kind of stay in a rhythm, and they get that positivity of winning a football game that, hey, we can actually do this. That we'll be okay.
Is it possible they have their foot on the gas too much with tempo, and this offense isn't polished enough yet to run that fast? Meaning, they're going to make too many mistakes. They can't execute at that pace yet. Is it possible they're just trying to go too fast?
It could be, but what I like about it is they've stuck with it, and that's what you want to see. Is they haven't just given up on it quick. They're sticking with it, and it's their offense. That's what they're going to. That's what they're calling it. That's their identity, and they're running with it. And so that we got to learn through those mistakes. And if we can learn through those mistakes and we stay with it, it gives those players confidence is saying, oh, I don't want to miss this pass up or miss this catch because we're going to not be able to do this offense anymore. They know that the coaches are going to stick with it as of right now, and so that gives those players confidence to go out there and just play free of mind.
So should they stick with it with a lead in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left in the game?
You slow it down a little bit.
Because we were screaming at the TV when we were watching it that, you might not want to snap it with 26 or 7 on the play clock.
Yeah, you got to learn to melt that clock a little bit more.
Right. Talking with former Razorback.
You know, we had that penalty at the end that really was just a dumb penalty that, you know, that those are mistakes that we can't do. As our football team grows and matures, we can't have those little mistakes that could potentially cost us a game.
Brent, let me ask you something on the note of that. Did you ever have Coach Nutt single you out in practice for something you particularly did in a game where you had to run extra? Because I can only imagine what Mike Woods had to do following that personal foul penalty during practice earlier this week.
Well, luckily my personal foul was a face mask my senior year in Wisconsin, and they just kind of looked at me. We weren't in Wisconsin. We were playing Wisconsin and the bowl game down in Florida.
Yeah.
But I was kind of getting beat, and I grabbed the guy's face mask, and I kind of just turned him and rolled him over, and I didn't think I'd get caught, and I did. So they kind of just come off the sideline and like, what are you doing? I'm like, I didn't want him to block the punt. And those are certain things that when you think that somebody could block a punt, you kind of take that holding penalty and just re-kick it because you can get by with a 15-yard penalty a lot more than you can a block punt. But it's not something that you want to do is get called out in a meeting that you could potentially cost your entire team, because those are your brothers out there, and they all want to fight, and their family, and you can tell that it's just emotion. There's so much raw emotion that they had. They just now got to kind of bottle it in and just kind of learn to play now.
Brett, you speak of special teams back in your playing days. It looked like they took a better step forward week two. I know that, like Scott Fallon, you others that have played that position, you know there's a lot of room for improvement and room to grow. How big are special teams going to be against the Auburn Tigers this weekend?
I think it's going to be huge. And I heard y'all earlier talking about, you know, these storms coming through, and it's going to be ball security. You look at, you know, Mississippi State, even though they threw three interceptions, they were still in the game because we couldn't get the offense going, but we had a momentum swing when they muffed a punt. So you want to make sure that you can just control the ball, take care of your most precious possession, and then you got to cover kicks like crazy, because when it gets windy and it gets rainy, there's not a real lot of telling of where that ball is going to go, and it could go further. You know, the bounces are going to be weird, so you just got to kind of focus in and really trust your technique.
Yeah, when you look at what Arkansas did on return coverage this week, so much better. Had two touchbacks on kickoffs, but the kickoff returns had a long of 26 yards, which is fine. I mean, you like to have every kick into the end zone, but, you know, if you're going to give them the ball at the 26-yard line, two returns, total of 49 yards, that's basically the same as a touchback when you're giving them at the 26.
Absolutely, and that's you would love touchbacks every time, especially when you're playing with younger guys. You're trying to save guys on defense, and guys are getting tired. You definitely want to keep touchbacks. I remember all the time our coach saying, just try and kick out the back of the end zone if you can. Mm-hmm. You know, our guys are gassed out here, and they need a little break. And that's what you want sometimes. And sometimes you get it, and sometimes you can't. So it's going to be, you know, like I said, it's going to be a little bit different with the weather. The wind could be right in their face. They're going to have to cover a kick, but they can kind of get creative with some pooch kicks and things of that nature as well. So hopefully they've got a good game plan, and they'll come out and execute it.
All right, I want to ask you a Cowboys question, because your old coach is the Cowboys boss now. What's going on with McCarthy and this bunch right now? I'm sure you've been watching some of that.
They've given up too many points. I mean, the offense has started out slow at every game, and they kind of come on there at the end. But, you know, the defense has just struggled, and they can't seem to get it right. Even last week, and they had things going their way. And then the first play, they give the ball to Odell, and he takes around the corner and just runs all the way through the defense. So, I feel bad for Mike, because I know it's a tough situation to get in there. And then you have the pandemic hit with a new coaching staff, but everybody's having to deal with that this year. So there's no excuses on it. He won't take it. He's a hard-nosed guy, and he'll be in there trying to get them going, and hopefully they can turn it around.
Talking with Brett Good, former Razorback, former Green Bay Packer on the Morning Rush. So Tommy brings up your old coach. Let's talk about one of your old teammates, Aaron Rodgers, now 4-0 on the season. Brett, is he the MVP in the NFL right now?
It's so hard to say at this point in the season. I think that he's put up really good numbers. I think that you can tell that he did not like them drafting a first-round quarterback. And I think that you know, going with not very many fans, he's able to kind of get some hard counts on the road that has allowed him to kind of use his greatness that he's had at the line of scrimmage for years to better on the road. And so I think that he has that opportunity to be an NFL MVP again. He just has to keep it going, and their offense is rolling right now. So I'm very excited and enjoying watching them play.
Brett, I've really enjoyed his conversations with Pat McAfee and A.J. Hawk, another one of your former teammates, and they're open and honest, and Aaron just kind of says whatever he wants, which I really appreciate when an athlete is like that. He said something yesterday on the program where he said all the blanking media does is write stories to get clicks. I mean, you're a former player. How do you, when you see like a reporter, I know your friend, your boys with Domboski who covers the Packers for the ESPN, and just like other reporters that you had connections with over the years, what is your perception of the media of a former college and NFL player?
It's a little bit of both. That you have the really good guys, and then you have there's a lot of media. I mean, when I say the really good guys, that's a very small group. And then you have most of the media. They would love for you to finish, from what we talked about in the NFL, is finish 8-8. That way they can talk about a couple of good things, and they can talk about a lot of the bad, because they just don't want to be over-positive. They don't want to tell a lot of them don't like telling a good story of the hometown kid that did this with his family, or he bought this for his mom, or anything like that. And so we tended to know who those guys were, and then you just start giving them short answers. Because a lot of times when a reporter comes with a story, they've already gotten it written. They're just looking for a couple of words for you to say, and every now and then somebody says something they probably shouldn't have, and then that's the headline of the story. So you just got to, with the ones that are not really on your side, you've got to be very, very cautious with what you tell them.
All right, let's circle back to the Arkansas game scheduled for 3 o'clock on Saturday down on the plains in Auburn. How do you see this game? What are the keys in your mind if Arkansas is going to have some success for the first time in a while against Auburn?
I think it's ball control, keep taking care of the rock, protecting it, and you know, we got to have our offense getting a little bit better rhythm. I think if we can get that going, establish a run game, and, you know, even if we're running that high-tempo offense, we've got to get some first downs and just move the ball and try and control the field possession, because if we can do that in a weather game with rain, wind, whatever comes through, we can win a lot of ball games. So if we can do that and our defense plays the way they've been doing, we'll have a chance. And that's all I want to see them is compete and have a chance, and maybe we can pull it out in the end.
All right, former Green Bay Packer and Razorback who committed a face mask penalty in the Capital One Bowl, Brett Good with us here.
Because that was the reason they lost that game.
Every Wednesday on the Morning Rush. And it's brought to you by Henderson Phillips, Employer Solutions. Brett sells insurance now. If you need insurance for your company, you need health insurance, you need employee benefits, you need personal or commercial insurance, our man Brett's the one to call. Tell him about it, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that you need, whether it be personal medical, we do health insurance for employee benefits, life insurance. We've had a lot of that going on with all this COVID going, and I'm actually going to look at a couple of houses today for personal property and casualty. So if you need anything, just give me a call, 479-651-2292.
All right, 651-2292 for Brett. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Also a two-time
right,
Jimmy.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Two-time Jimmy Fallon appearance, too.
There
something
you go.
That you and I will never achieve.
Nope.
So, Brett, appreciate it, buddy.
Well, if we do that roundhouse kick on your head, we might, though.
That is an excellent point. I feel like Jimmy would have to talk about you again, and he might have to talk about me. So we'll
You'd be
see.
Willing to take a kick in the face to get on Jimmy Fallon, wouldn't you?
It's Jimmy Fallon.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.